like,
yeah, that's what we do. We go backwards like this. We don't go like this. We go like that. So we can bump, right? We do the bump, but we can't dance. Anyhow, we can't waltz. We bump. I was giggling about that when we were singing that last song, that was like a fountain. So praise God. Like I said a little bit earlier, let me ask you this, I guess. Do you know that there are two real kingdoms? That there's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom that's promised to us from God above. And that in this two kingdoms is just like a warring faction, two warring factions that are constantly struggling and fighting one against another. And they're fighting for the victory of your soul, right? That's what the whole fight is about, is who is going to be your God. Are you going to serve the God of this world, the God of your flesh, the God of your mindset? Or are you going to serve the one true living God? And the choice is yours. Nobody's going to force you. But depending on whom you serve, that's where you're going to go. That will be the Lord that you go to at the end. That will be the kingdom that you will be assigned to for all of eternity. Either you will be in the kingdom of glory, in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, covered by His blood through salvation, or you're going to be in the kingdom of condemnation and damnation where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And your Lord will be your own heart's desire. It will be Satan and what he has put into humankind. Choice is yours. I guess I can sit down now. Right? After you get through all that, there's really not much else to say. And as I was looking at this battle between righteousness and unrighteousness, realizing that these two warring factions, and I don't know if we really wrap our mind around it too much, that it is a true battle that goes on every day for the souls of men. And how vicious that battle must be. The only problem is we're born into one side. You know, you're born already into the kingdom of darkness. You're born into the rule of your own flesh because of Adam's sin way back then. And that sin has passed on to all generations, including ours. Didn't seem fair, did it? Two favorite words in the whole Bible. But God. Amen. If we were outnumbered, outgunned, outmaneuvered. But God said, I want to have a relationship with my creation so much that I'm going to become human. I will come from heaven and I will become a man. I will suffer to be tempted in every way. And I want to lay my life down for the payment, for opening up the kingdom to anybody who's willing to go. Jesus said, I want to come and provide you light to draw you out of the darkness. And as I was going through this wrestling and this thought in my mind this past week, the Lord laid on my heart John chapter 3, and we all know John chapter 3, right? About Nick at night. And so chapter 3 and verse 1, let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do ask even now that you would move over this congregation, Father, that you would speak to us and help us to see the true battle, Lord. Open our eyes that we could see what's going on in the heavenlies, the true fight for the salvation of humankind. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to not only see it, but make those proper adjustments in our life, that we could be in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for those things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And John chapter 3 starts out like this. There was a man of the Pharisees, his name Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher. We know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them? Now, Nicodemus and the Pharisees, all right, they had already seen Jesus doing some kingdom things on the earth. Right? If you look at what happens in the kingdom, there's no more tears, no more crying, no more hurting, no more sickness. Everybody's in perfect health there, right? And Jesus came and he's at this time, he's healing people. He's casting out demons. He's making the blind to see. He's helping the deaf to hear. He's giving strength to those who are crippled in their feet and in their backs that could not do anything in and of their own. And the kingdom manifested in flesh came and started doing these things that promised to happen in the kingdom of God, right? He's healing. He's loving. He's moved with compassion. And the group called the Pharisees, who were the teachers of the time, saw these great works that God was doing through this individual. And Nicodemus said, listen, I can tell that there's something different about you, Jesus, because you're touching people's lives in a real, deep, and personal way. You're reaching not just to their outside, but you're going deep into the very need that they have, and you're opening up this avenue of healing, and only God can do that. And Nicodemus knew that, and that's what he's telling Jesus right straight up. He says, listen, Jesus, you are doing some things that unless God is in the middle of it, it could not be happening. And Jesus answered him. I mean, think about what Nick just said, and look at the answer that Jesus gave to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, meaning truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, wait a second. Nick, at night, he said, listen, Jesus, you're so cool. You're so great. Look at what you're doing. And Jesus says, let's get this straight. Unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Now, because I'm looking out at y'all and I see you, right? You see me? Well, this is a different kind of see. This see, actually, from the Greek, is E-I-D-W. And so it would be idio. Idio. And it's a primary verb. And it's used in a certain positive sense. All right? And it means to know something, to consider something, to have knowledge of something, to be sure of something with a deep understanding. That's what this word see means, all right? So as Jesus is talking here, let's put some of those other words in there. Except a man be born again, he cannot know the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is born again, he can't consider the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man is born again, he can have no knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. Unless a man be born again, he can't be sure of the kingdom of heaven. And unless a man be born again, he can't even understand the kingdom of heaven. Imagine Nicodemus, a great teacher in his day, and this is what Jesus says to him, unless you are born again, Nick, the kingdom that I'm representing, the kingdom that you see of healing, of love, of compassion, this kingdom that's raising the dead up, this kingdom that's healing the crippled, this kingdom that's giving hearing to the deaf and sight to the blind, this very kingdom that you're seeing happening right in front of your face, unless you are born again, you can't even comprehend it. Now, he was a teacher of all Israel. A great teacher. He wasn't just a little teacher, a small one. And Nicodemus not able to wrap his mind around it because he was not born again. He asked this question. And he says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? All right, now, that's a pretty common question, isn't it? Because he had no depth of understanding. When you start telling people about the kingdom of God and what it takes to be born again, you might come up with the same kind of opposition. You might come up with the same people or some other highly educated people saying, this makes no sense. This is crazy. How can I, already an old person, be born again? See, there's two verses that we got to look at here. And Jesus is going to tell him this. I say unto thee, or verily, verily, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man, a human, be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. trouble not that I tell you you must be born again. And then he starts talking about some very physical things. The wind blows, you don't really know where it comes from, right? So is the Spirit when he moves. So to enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus lays the very baseline here. You got to be born again. To even understand that there are two warring kingdoms, two factions that are fighting here. There's the good and the evil, the light and the darkness. There, you've got to understand here, to even see the battle, first you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't do that, you won't even begin to understand the fight, how to stand. You know, unfortunately, or I guess in the plan of God, every human is born a slave to sin. Right? Every human is born. You're born a natural sinner. Right? You don't have to sin. It just happens. Right? And we've gone over that so many times in this church. I've been talking about it for 9 years now. That's why there's only five of us here. Important five. But anyhow, but that's why, because we don't fluff things up. We just kind of try to keep it easy and straight out. Just like Jesus is saying, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So to be born again is not the physical birth that you have. That comes from your mom and dad, right? They know each other. 9 months later, you popped out, right? And before you popped out, you were covered by water. You were in this sack filled with water, right? You were a fish to begin with. No, you're a baby made in the image of God, but He prepared you in this thing. And when the water breaks, and then the child is born. Well, there's a second birth that he talks about that is probably more important than the first birth. Because the first birth, you're born, and you're born as a slave to sin. But then the Father moves over you, and he says, George, I love you. I call you by your name, and I want to call you out of your sin, your sinful womb, and bring you into the light. That you could know me. That you could know the kingdom. That you could know what righteousness is. That you could know what love is. That you could know what healing is. That you could truly understand compassion. Not on a physical level, but in a supernatural way. Because that's what the kingdom is. Right? It's the physical understanding what the supernatural is. Enough to adjust your life, discipline, disciple yourself in such a way you'll be prepared for the kingdom. So in this, Jesus continues talking. And he says, art thou a master of Israel, in verse 10, a teacher, that's what it means, a master teacher, a professor. Aren't you a professor in Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, I speak unto thee. We speak what we know, and I testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. I like that Jesus is talking in the plural there, more than one. The Father and the Spirit and the Son are speaking to you right now, Nick. Catch this, all right? Yeah, we're speaking to you, and you don't understand it. You're not receiving what we're saying to you. For if I told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you of the heavenly things? Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, where was Jesus at this time? He was sitting down with Nick, right? They were sitting down, probably had a nice cup of tea, and they were talking about stuff. Now he says, listen, Nick, I'm still in heaven, right? I'm there, although I'm here with you, right? You get to see two parts of the Trinity there. I'm still in the kingdom, but I've been sent here to talk to you. I'm the Son that came from the Father, that came from heaven. I'm the only one who came from heaven. I will be ascending back up into heaven, into the kingdom, not many days from now. And he even tells him how, what manner of death he's going to have. And from an Old Testament I hate to call them stories, but an account of a future thing that would happen. So the Lord talked to him. Well, what happened is the people were in sin. Israel was in sin. And the Lord sent serpents into the camp. And folks were getting bit and they were dying by the bite of these serpents. And the Lord told Moses, hey, Moses, make a brazen serpent and hang it on a pole in the middle of the camp. And if anybody has faith enough to look into the serpent or look into the pole at that snake that's going to be up there, if you look at that with faith, then you'll be healed from the snake bite. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Just as crazy as God saying, I'm going to die for the sin of mankind on a cross. And so Jesus brings this real account to Nicodemus that he would know really well. And he says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, if you believe in Jesus and the cross, then you already have a seat at the table with the Most High God in the kingdom. And why is that? Because the Creator God, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God hath not sent His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So Jesus said a whole lot right there. He wrapped a whole lot of things all in one spot. Everybody memorizes John 3:16, whether you're saved or not. You see it in all the football games. Somebody has a sign, John 3:16. And that's cool. That's great. That's a wonderful truth. But without the rest of the truth about the kingdom and knowing and seeing the kingdom, that really doesn't mean that much to you. Now, when you take that there's a kingdom reward if you believe in the Son, if you take that there's a victory in the battle between the two kingdoms as you put your faith in Jesus Christ and He starts fighting that fight for you, all of a sudden it starts taking on a deeper meaning. All right? It's not just that God did this great thing for you, and praise God that He did this great thing for you, but if you believe in Him, He has a reward for you also. So he's looking into this and he says, for God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but the world through Jesus might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Alright, so what is the most important thing you need to believe in? Jesus. Alright? What He did on the cross. Do you believe that? Now, if you really believe that, there ought to be some changes in your life. Alright? If you really believe that, because you were born in a sin nature, Jesus came and He said, I'm going to die for the sin of mankind to set you free from that sin nature. I'm here to set you free that you can be part of the kingdom that I'm preparing for you. And if I go to prepare it for you, I'm going to come again and call you to Me. All those things about the kingdom of God. And all of this that He's talking to Nick at night was about the kingdom of God, okay? And He said, and this is the condemnation. First, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. But there's a great condemnation that comes if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men love their darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, and entereth, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are worked or wrought in God. Okay, so thinking about the two kingdoms here, there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness. You were born into the kingdom of darkness. Those things come quite naturally to all of us. But Jesus said, you don't have to remain a slave anymore to that kingdom of darkness, that power of darkness that we're all born into. He, in truth, is the great emancipator, the one who sets everybody free, right? He came to set the captive free. You were born captive in your sin, into the kingdom of sin. That's who you are, that's how you were born, and there's nothing you in yourself can do about that. You cannot set yourself free from your sin. You need a Savior. right? You need somebody with the keys to your chain to unlock that chain that so easily condemns you and breaks you apart from the kingdom of light. You need a person who is able to pay that sin debt to set us free, to lift that condemnation off of us, that we could come into the kingdom of light. Because we're born into a kingdom of darkness. And he says, everyone, verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that does truth or doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are worked in God. I said, all that to lay the foundation of where we're going. Those scriptures right there, remember Jesus is talking about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. He's saying, listen, if you really want to go to heaven, you want to be a part of this kingdom, step one is you must be born again. What does it take to be born again? Believe in the only begotten Son of God. And if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that He came to pay the price for you, then He is delivering you from the darkness into the light. And the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but through Him, right? We know that from John chapter 14. Now, all of this, I hope it's coming together in your mind, maybe for the first time that you've ever really thought about these two kingdoms. Now, every human is born, right? We talked about that. We are bound in the inheritance of our sin nature. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul writing to the church says, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death came through sin, or came by sin. And so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. Alright, so here in Romans chapter 5, Paul's writing out some things that about these two kingdoms. One leads to death, and that's the one that you're born in. Right? Remember when Adam, Adam had sinned, before sin entered in, God gave a warning. If you eat the fruit of this tree, in dying you shall die. Right? And if you eat of this, you're going to die. But he's not talking about a physical death, he's talking about a spiritual death. Because he also tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 that you were come from the dust and you're going to go back to the dust, right? So every human being that is born dies a natural death. Or natural unnatural. Your heart stops beating, your eyes close for the last time. We'll call that death. But after that, the real you comes alive. The one that's in you, that's living right now, that's covered by this body of sin, is released to go to the God whom he served, to go to the kingdom that he served while he was in this sarcophagus, in this dying body here. Right? There's coming a day that this body, this flesh that you see, is going to run its natural course and die. Right? And after that, the body that you do not see, my soul, as God scooped up the dirt and he breathed into the dirt and it became a living soul. That soul that lasts forever will go to the God who I serve here on this earth in this time and space that we're in. Right, so which kingdom do you want? Do you want the kingdom of light or do you want the kingdom of darkness? Now the kingdom of darkness feels good right now. It really does. Because if you want it, you can have it. Just do it your way. Right? You can do what you feel. You just follow your feelings. Man, yeah, I'm following my heart. How many people have said that? I'm following my heart. What the heart wants, the heart gets, right? Well, you can follow that right to hell. You can. You can follow your flesh and wind up in the kingdom of darkness forever. Or you can learn to die to your flesh and walk in the promise of the kingdom that's to come. Now, I have not seen the promised kingdom yet. I have not seen that. But I, by faith, I believe through Jesus Christ that I have a ticket to get there. Alright? So I'm going to do what I can because I'm born in the sinful flesh and I could not free myself for that. So I lay down my life to Jesus Christ. I say, alright, God, you change me. Change me into who I can be. So how do I know how to change? It's right here. Folks, it's right here. It's your basic instructions before leaving Earth. Right? It's your Bible. This is, if you study this and you apply this to your life, you do what this here says, you walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, alright, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? And be born again, get born again. When you get born again, then you have a chance to get to the kingdom. You accept Jesus as your Lord, and all of a sudden light comes on. Before I knew Jesus Christ, there was no light. Although I was awake and I saw physical light, I didn't understand what light was until Jesus. Right? And when I believed in Jesus, all of a sudden there was a supernatural seed growth that happened from the inside. And the sinful man started to die. And the soul man that God breathed into the first man started to live for the first time. Because I was an enemy of God, I trusted Jesus Christ, He paid for my sin debt, and I started having a different idea about what real life is. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're there, alright? You're there. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ, you're still in darkness. Now, you might think that you're in the light, but you're really not in the light. Oh. If the light that you perceive is really darkness, then how deep is that darkness, as Jesus asked? If you're perceiving light, but that light that you're perceiving is really and truly from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, but you think it's light, how deep that darkness must be. And you'll never get into true light until you trust Jesus Christ. Until you allow Him to open up your mind for the kingdom of God that's before us. Because the wages of sin is death, right? So if you live in the darkness, you trust only your flesh, you trust this sinful delusion of life, at the end of your physical life, you're going to face not just death, but the second death. And we'll look at that in chapter 21 here in a moment. But even as Jesus was on this earth and He was doing all the things that God told Him to do. In fact, Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own. I only do what I see the Father doing. Right? And He says, listen, I am God manifested in the flesh, but I got this kingdom mindset, you know. And no matter where I go, no matter what I do, I'm doing it because the Father sent me there to do it. Ask the woman at the well. Right? Ask the poor crippled man who was at the pool of Bethesda. Right? Ask that guy. Jesus had to be there, right there, on that day, right? And He healed them. Ask anybody, the blind men that came to Him, the lepers that came to Him, all those folks, that those perfect timings was God telling him to go from one place to another, and on the way while you're there, you're going to run into this person. And when you run into that person, I want you to tell him about the power and the glory of the kingdom. Guess what? You're on a journey. Right? You're on a journey. And God has people that are going to meet you on this journey. And since you're a child of the light, blind them. Blind them with the light of Jesus Christ. Blind them with the kingdom. You come up to their darkness and say, hey brother, you have hope. I have hope for you. I have hope that you don't have to be chained to this darkness anymore. That you can have the light to illuminate your life. And a promise that goes along with that. To a life everlasting with God. How do we know that even Lucifer is the king of this world or is the ruler of this world? Find that in the temptation of Christ. So if you'll flip your Bibles open to Luke chapter 4, out of the ones I like Luke's account better. It is chapter 4. Oh, my Holy Bible. Alright, we know John the Baptizer had been baptizing in the Jordan saying, The kingdom of God is at hand, right? He says, listen, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. There's one coming that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals, okay? And then he saw Jesus coming one day, and John's disciples were there, and John said, hey, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And guess what? Jesus came to John, and he said, John, I need to be baptized. And John said, listen, I don't need to baptize you. You, Jesus, need to baptize me. Dude, I need your baptism more than you need my water baptism. But Jesus said, these things got to happen. Let's do it this way, that the Scripture would be full. Right? So right after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God carries him away into the wilderness to be tempted. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days, this is 4, verse 1 and 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, afterward he was hungered. All right, I don't know if any of y'all have gone without food for more than just 8 or 9 or 10 hours, but if you do, yeah, I hear you, James. I ain't doing that, man. But imagine 40 days, you'd be hungry, right? I think that's a pretty plain, simple understanding. 40 days, I'm hungry. And the devil said to him, thou, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word or every word of God. I have it memorized in one way, and I'm reading it in another. That's the problem with the New King James. And I used to read the New King James all the time. I memorized a lot of scripture in the New King James. And then I got a real Bible, right, and started doing the King James. I said, it doesn't read the same. If it's not the same, it must not be the same. So anyhow, excuse me for chasing the rabbit there for the plug for the King James, but I believe in America, that's the Bible you need to be reading. Anyhow, that all to the side. And then the second temptation that Lucifer, that the devil gave him, and the devil took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, the glory of them, if that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. All right? Look at what Satan just told Jesus. I'm going to give you this whole world and all the glory of this world. Right? Did Lucifer have the authority to do that? Right, he did. He did. Jesus didn't say, you ain't got the authority to do that, Lucifer. You can't do that. No. Lucifer has that. This world that we live in, full of death and sin and hatred, the works of the flesh, all that, it is the devil's world. All right? This is the devil's world. And praise God, this world that one day is going to burn with a fervent heat. Right? And it's a beautiful thing. And so anyhow, the devil said, all this power I will give thee and the glory, for it is delivered unto me. All right? So God had it. But he delivered that glory to Satan, right? That happened way back in Genesis when Adam sinned and sin entered into the world. And since sin entered into the world, so did death. For the payment of sin is death, right? We just looked at that. So anyhow, so the payment of sin is death. And so it belongs to Satan and whomever he will give it to. So Satan has the power to give you the world's kingdom. Oh, Jesus asked this great question. I didn't even think of it. I would have wrote it in the sermon. What good is it if a man gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Right? So what? You gain this whole world. You get everything this world has. You got the kingdom of this world. You got all of it. All the toys. Right? What's that saying? He with the most toys dies. That's it. He who dies with the most toys wins. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Because you might win in this world, but you're going to lose in the kingdom to come. Yeah. You know, so he says, look at these things that he offers him. He offers the kingdom and the glory of the world and all that time. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and to him only shalt thou serve. And then Satan shoots one more time, the third temptation. And he brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering them, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. And then the devil left him to tempt him for a different season. So, in these three temptations that Lucifer used on Jesus are the same three temptations that he uses on you. Do you know that? Pride of life? Right? That brain went blank.
Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the eye and pride of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
These three things. That's what. These are the only three tools that Lucifer has. This is it. How stupid are we that we get tangled up in this? Well, actually, it's not stupid. We were born into his kingdom. It's natural to us. That's why we've got to crucify our flesh daily. Right? I've got to choose today whom I will serve. Right? I've got to make a physical effort not to do the things of the flesh. They come quite natural to me. It comes quite natural to everybody. Right? But I want the kingdom of heaven more than I want the kingdom run by Satan. So that means I've got to deny my lust of my eyes. I've got to deny the pride of my life. I've got to deny these three things that is over and over and over presented to me. Because what's offered to me is better than anything that's presented to me by the darkness of this world. I have a hope through Jesus Christ. Amen? And so... so there you have it. It's right out of the serpent's mouth that he has authority over this world and he's able to give it to whoever he wants to. Now, Jesus was the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven here on the earth. And you say, well, where do you get that from? Well, I looked at some of the characteristics that's in the kingdom, right? Revelation chapter 21. I was just teaching this to the kids this past week over at the Good News Club, which is what a blessing to have all these little people that are shorter than me, barely, right? Come and I get to set them all down. I get to tell them these deep things about the kingdom of God, right? In a way that they can understand, I hope. Well, I actually, there's that one rowdiest kid. What was Antonio, I think? Huh?
Cole.
Oh, Cole, he's not in our group no more. But anyhow, there's one just a little rabbit bouncer, man. And anyhow, I had him sit down, and at the end of the presentation, he said, I want to stay here.
Yeah.
I just want to stay here. I'd love to go and do all the other stuff. I want to stay here. Do you got another story? You know, do you got another account you can get? But meeting the kids where they are and showing them this tabernacle of God, the dwelling place, and Revelation chapter 21, and it says, I, John, saw these things, and some of the things, and for the space of time that I'm going to wrap in here, remember Jesus, I'm talking Jesus being the representation of the kingdom here on this earth, that we could know what the kingdom's like through his flesh, all right? Chapter 3 and verse says one, but I don't think that's one. I've got to go to Revelation chapter 21. I have it written in my notes, but I think I wrote it incorrectly. Anybody ever have that problem? Yeah, I do. So anyhow, let me just read through this and come that way we can have it. I'm going to stop and I'm going to be pointing out things that the kingdom is through Jesus Christ here on this earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. So that's the first one. So that was verse 3. And if I would have read my notes correctly, that's what it says. 21:3, and then 1 in the circle above that. So verse 3. He heard a great voice, and he said, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with men. When Jesus came to earth, what was one of his titles?
Lord.
God the Son, right? Right? He's a wonderful counselor. He is God. Man. He was the tabernacle of God. And where was he dwelling? Right here on the earth. So Jesus being a representation of the kingdom, the tabernacle of God was right here. And it's going to be again. So Jesus was a picture of some future things that are going to happen. So Jesus was here and the tabernacle of God was with men. All right? And he dwelt with them. Will dwell with them. He dwelt with us one time, but there's coming a day that he'll dwell with us again. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, okay? Now think about the compassion that it takes to do that. How compassionate do you have to be to see somebody else's hurting, and you come and you wipe their tear away? Is that right? Is that not every time Jesus did some great stuff, or a lot of times he says in the Bible he was moved with compassion. Right? He was moved with compassion. He saw the hurting. He saw the hungry. He saw the needy. And he was moved with compassion. And he mended their hurt. Right? Tells us, I don't know if we're going to get to it today or not, but where I started with this was with the Pharisees talking to Jesus that he was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. But anyhow, this idea that Jesus being God, man, the tabernacle, and that compassion that he had, he'll wipe away the tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death. When Jesus was there, how much death was there? Not much. Every time when he was going through the town and there's a daughter that had died and the funeral procession was going by, he touched it and they became alive. Woohoo! Man, all right. Lazarus. Now, he waited until Lazarus died, but he could have. In fact, Martha, his sister, Lazarus' sister, said, Lord, if you would have only been here, it wouldn't have happened. Jesus said, chill out, woman. You got some neater. I got some better stuff to show you. Well, roll back the stone. Well, he's stinking. Didn't ask you what he smelled like. I said, roll back the stone. Right? And when he rolled back the stone, he called him and he came back to life. If I were Lazarus on that day, I think I would have been pretty upset. You know, I was in the presence of the Most High God and you called me back. I was in the paradise where I need to be and you called me back. Anyhow, he died again. He went back. So anyhow, there's no death with Jesus. How about the folks who were sorrow and brokenhearted? Did Jesus touch those people? He did. He ministered to those. The crying, Jesus wept. But those who were really hurting and crying, Jesus ministered to those people. He loved them. And there will be no more pain. Those folks who, in fact, this is coming back to where we're going to talk. There was a man in the temple with a withered hand, right? His hand's all crippled up. And it was on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees said, listen, I wonder if we bring this person up to him, what Jesus is going to do. And Jesus said, hey, which one of you guys with a donkey in a ditch wouldn't pull him out on the Sabbath day? And he goes through several things that David did. He ate the showbread and goes through all those things. And this is, I've got to get it right, Matthew chapter 12, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Matthew 12 and starting in verse 10. So anyhow, so all these things that Jesus did as the kingdom, representing the kingdom, wherever Jesus was, the kingdom was. And when Jesus healed, it was the kingdom do it. When he wiped away tears, it was the kingdom. It was showing the goodness, the grace, the compassion of the kingdom when Jesus was there, right? And now Jesus is in the temple, all right, and there's this guy with a withered hand. I got a few seconds here. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. Because I have been known to get out of whack from time to time. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So 12, and I want to start reading before I have the notes here, but I don't have time for it. And this is about the man with the withered hand. And starting in verse 9, and he departed from thence and went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, which man shall there be among you if he have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold of him and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath? And he told the man to stretch forth thine hands. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. And the Pharisees went about a council against him that they might destroy him or kill him. All right, now get the picture here. The kingdom of God in the temple of God. The kingdom Jesus in the very sanctuary of the Hebrew people. And they brought to him a conundrum. All right, I'm going to bring to you a hard problem. What you going to do? And Jesus said, which of you, it says, Jesus taught in another place about if you have a donkey in the ditch, and you get, who will go? Here he talks about a sheep. I like sheep better because we're all sheep, right? That out of my mind. There's a thing that came across y'all didn't need to hear. And there's a sheep. And he says, which one of you having a beautiful one of your little sheep or lambs that are stuck somewhere wouldn't on the Sabbath day go lift him out? And isn't this man worth much more than a sheep? He says, let your hand be made whole. And then the religious people of the day took counsel how they might destroy the kingdom. Did you see what happened there? The people who were in the kingdom of darkness saw the glory of the light. They hated the light because their deeds were evil, like it says in John chapter 3. And then they tried to destroy the light. But you can't beat light. There ain't enough darkness anywhere to beat light. Right? And in this whole scenario, it goes on and talks about a house that's divided against itself can't stand. And so move over to 22. And they brought to him, and then was brought to him, verse 22 of chapter 12, was brought to him, meaning Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, and Jesus healed him, inasmuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But the Pharisees, again, they heard it, and said, this fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So, did you hear what the Pharisees just said? All right? Now, the kingdom of light came into a situation and cleansed out the unrighteousness, the demon in a man. All right? And when he was made clean, the religious people said it must be done by the power of the devil. All right? The prince of the devil, Beelzebub. Now, that's nowhere near truth, but that's what they believed because their deeds were dark and they refused to come to the light. They were in the church, all right, the church, the Hebrew church. They were in the synagogue. They were the teachers, the masters, right? And they saw the very kingdom of God doing things. Remember what Nick said? We know that God must be with you because you can't do these things unless God is in you. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Or you can't see the kingdom. These people here, though they'd be very religious, they couldn't see the kingdom. Right? Because their deeds were indeed evil. They chose darkness rather than light. The light was amongst them, and they chose darkness rather than light. And when they saw the light doing what only light can do, cleansing and purifying, casting out and healing, the only things that light can do, then they accused the light of being dark. Must be. It must be done by Satan. Have you ever thought of it like that? There's two kingdoms fighting here. There's the kingdom of darkness fighting against the kingdom of light. And the kingdom of light lets one little ray come down and touch one little soul right there, right in the midst of them, and change his life for the better. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. Said, how can this happen? You must be. You've got to be on our side. Okay, you got to be on our side, the dark would say. And Jesus said, answered them. He knew their thoughts. They were thinking these things. And he knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or a house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, or by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Wow. Wow. I don't, when
I read that this week at the beginning of the week, and the Lord was laying on my heart what I need to talk about this week. I read that. I said, when you see the kingdom of God do something fantastic, know that the kingdom of God has come among you. And each of us here, I believe all of us are born again. Right? Have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? All right. If you haven't, today's your day for salvation. You can. Right? All you got to do is trust Him. And then He's going to let that beam of light, bam, hit you right on your dark spot. And when He illuminates your dark spot, everything's going to change. That demon that was in you is going to start, he's going to come out of you, you're going to start talking life. Right? That where you could not hear about the kingdom, all of a sudden them big old clods of wax come out of your ear and you can hear about the goodness and the kingdom of God and you can start to understand it. Amen? All you got to do is say, where's the light? I want the light. Give me the light. Give me the light. Let the light shine on me. And you ask Jesus, let His light come on you, and all of a sudden your darkness turns to day. All of a sudden your blindness turns to light. All of a sudden the deafness that you had, you can hear now. Finally you can hear. You no longer have a banana in your ear. Y'all remember that from Sesame Street? Oh, I got a banana in my ear. Can't hear you. Often we have a banana stuck in our ear by the world. And God says, take the banana out of your ear. I want to talk to you. I want to show you the kingdom of heaven. I want to show you the kingdom of God in a real way. So, but how do you do this? In verse 29 and following, he says, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man and then spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, check out these two things that Jesus just said. They're super in the kingdom. My flesh is strong. Right? What I want to do, I want to do it, and I want to do it now. It's strong. So how is that gentle shepherd going to influence this rotten flesh? Well, first we've got to bind it up. Right? I have a free will. You know that? Now, do you know that you've got a free will? It tells us in Joshua, choose you today which God you're going to serve. Right? Either the God of your fathers back in Egypt in the land of sin, or the God of the promised kingdom in the promised land. You need to make a choice. Either I'm going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or I'm going to walk in the flesh and not fulfill the drive of the Spirit. It's your choice. Now, I know the light's there because Jesus said it's there. And if I believe it, he's shining the illumination of truth into my life. Now, what I do with that truth truly reveals what I believe about the God who sent the truth to me. And Jesus is the truth. Right? So when He came to you and He illuminated your mind, He opened your eyes that you could see. He cleaned your ears that you could hear what the Spirit would say. Don't turn away or give that to some other entity in the world. Give it to God. Give the glory to Him. Give your life to Him. Give your everything to Him. Trust in Him and you will be saved. Believe in Him and He will save you. But even in that, I must bind up the strong kingdom that I was born into. I was born as a sinner, chained by the weight of sin. Right? So were you. God gave us the key to set us free. Now, when He set us free, He didn't take away my free will. So that free will that's in me to do what my flesh wants to do, somebody's got to control that. Jesus paid it all. Alright? On the cross, He paid it all. Now, I have a free will that I need to deal with. Do I believe God more than I believe my emotions? Do I believe God? Do I believe the promise of the kingdom more than I believe the illusion of the temporary right now of our time-space existence? Right? What I see. See, what I see, I look at you, I see you in the flesh. I don't see your spirit. But I know in you is a spirit that was made in the likeness and image of God. And that spirit has a choice to dwell either with God who made him or to be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Choose you today who you're going to serve, right? Make up your mind. Have you decided to bind the strong man? Right? Have you decided to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Jesus paid it all. He made a way where you did not have a choice. And He made a way where now you have a choice. What are you going to do with it? Again, I want the kingdom. I want it all. What's that silly song? You could have had it all. Right? You trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and guess what? You can have it all. You can have it all. You know? But you got to choose. Only one of these dogs can be fed at a time. Me, my flesh, or the Spirit of God. I love you. Go home. So what you do with this now is up to you. I'm done. Let me pray. Oh, Father, I love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and grace. I pray for these folks that are here even now, Lord Father. Move mighty over them. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts and rework our lives and help us to long for you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name.